This is week number four of our series Breakout. And I, like I said, I have a very short message to share with you. Just sort of wrap the series up and really give us some marching orders of what to do now with the things that we've been encouraged with in terms of making this 2019 a breakout year. And I believe, and we truly believe with all our hearts, it's not just a saying, but it is a reflection of what our lives could be like. But if we just hear this and just not respond to it or really do anything or have any action steps, then it is just a phrase. And it means nothing, which means a year from now we'll have breakout year 2.0 and nothing will change. But I believe God wants us to see change in our life. He wants us to see a breakout in some things. And so I want to share with you three simple principles and action steps that you can take. And I just want you to be thinking about these as we talk about them. So we'll start with, here's the three. Number one, you need to break up with some people in your life. You need to break up with some people who are holding you back. Number two, you need to break down what you're doing. In other words, have a system, have something you're doing that's systematic. And I'm going to show you how to do that. And then number three, break away from the crowd. There's something that will cause you to break out is breaking away from and doing what other people aren't doing in their lives. And so I want to share this scripture with you, 3 John 2, as sort of our foundation to what we're going to talk about, because this is, I think, essential to see God's heart behind our lives and really have a foundation, something to look at. Because what I really ultimately want to do, and this is the whole point of this message, is simply to ask you, with everything I have, to write out your goals or your dreams for your life, whatever they are between now and the end of your life. Begin to just process those things. What would you like to accomplish with your life? What are the dreams you have, whether it's your occupation, your relationships, your financial condition, your health condition, whatever it might be, what do you want to see? And I want to challenge you to write those down. And you're going to see the importance of that. But this verse is really, I want to call this the target of what we're shooting for. It says this, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." What I love about this verse is it's holistic in that he begins with, "I pray you." Well, who is you? Are you a body? Are you a mind? What are you? Well, we know, if you've been here long enough, you know that we believe you are a spirit, that you are a spirit being made and created by a spirit God, that God made you. You have a body. Certainly, you need to pinch yourself, make sure you have one, and pinch your neighbor, make sure they have one too. But we have bodies, but we're not our bodies. Our bodies don't define us. We're defined by who we are, who we really are, and that it's a spirit being. So we are a spirit. You are a spirit. I pray that you prosper in all, that you prosper, you spiritually prosper in all things, and be in health. So how many know you can't prosper spiritually if your body's sick? It's difficult to prosper spiritually if your body's sick, or if you're not taking care of yourself with your health. And he says, just as your soul prospers, there's the third part of you. That's your mind, your will, and your emotions. We all have souls. So he's describing, I like this, the holistic approach to life, in that you're prosperous spiritually, you're prosperous in your body, physically, and you're prosperous in your soul, in your emotions, your will. Your mind is prosperous. But and you think about life. In fact, Beth and I just had an extended time away where we were with a lot of people, many of whom were our age and some older, who had not taken care of themselves very well physically. And so although they may have been prosperous financially in life because they're not physically taking care of themselves, their lives, I wouldn't consider it as successful. Now, let me tell you what prosper means. This is important because sometimes, even when we use the word prosper, people sometimes tilt because they think that means financial prosperity. Well, that part of prosperity, but the word actually just simply means, and it's defined this way, to have a successful journey. And I like that. You think about a successful spiritual journey in life. Well, what does that mean? I'm just constantly growing in my relationship with the Lord. I'm constantly understanding, growing spiritually, that my life is a reflection of my faith. That's what we do as we prosper. Well, would prosperity be in your body? Well, obviously, prosperity in your body would be health. I'd have strength and endurance and all the different things. I'd be able to have my weight under control and feel good about myself, those kind of things. And then, of course, prosperity in your mind. We live in a society where a great number of people are anxious. They're on medications and things to help them cope with things because they're not able to cope with life very well mentally. So this is not just some random verse that we take out of context. This, I believe, is God's plan for our life, that we have a successful journey in every area of our life. That is our target. So, now, I believe that. You, on the other hand, have to choose. Do you believe that, and would you like to set that as your target? Because with this in mind, I want to talk to you then about how we do this break up, break down, and break away from the things of life that will hold us back from achieving our dreams and our goals. And so this is what I really want to spend a great time talking about. Why is this important to us? Because, again, the Bible is our plumb line. This is our how we live our lives. We choose as Christians to align our lives up to God's word and ultimately his plan for our life. And so let's talk about breakup. Turn over to Psalm 1 and verse 1, the first psalm and the first verse of that first psalm. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not." Now you could turn that around and say, if you walk with the wrong crowd, you're not going to be blessed. But he says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." Notice this. Walks not, stand, doesn't stand with, nor sits with. In other words, pretty much every area of life, walk, stand, sit. Wherever you're hanging out, you better be careful who you're hanging out with. That's why coming to church is such a good thing. That's why the Bible tells us that the reason that we don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together is that we may be together to encourage one another. We're here to encourage each other in our faith. We're here to help each other, to call each other up to higher things. But I want to warn you right now that if you're going to have a breakout year, there are going to be some people you're going to have to break up with, because they are not going to want you to succeed. Because if you succeed, it'll show them that they're not succeeding, and they're not going to like that. That's unfortunate, but you have to decide, who are you going to take with you? I like something T.D. Jakes said. He said, "Never allow the crowd to define you or confine you." Never allow the crowd to define you or confine you. Look at verse 2 of Psalm 1. The person who doesn't do that does this. He delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. I love that. Here's what Dr. Caroline Leaf said about our brains and about the thinking power of our brains. She says this: "You are a thinking being. You think all day long, and you are even thinking while you sleep. Daytime thinking is a building process, whereas nighttime thinking is a sorting process." I love that concept, because when we talk about a target, we talk about shooting at something, setting goals, writing down our dreams, deciding how we're going to live our lives, we're setting a target we're shooting for. And what she's describing is when you get that in your brain, when you get that wired up, we're going to talk about that here in just a second, when we begin to wire that into our brains, whether we're asleep or awake, we're thinking about it. We're thinking about what we can do and what we can be. Psalm, or verse 3, it says this: "He shall be like a tree planted." Everybody say planted. "By the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall" what? "Prosper," or have a successful journey. Why is that? Because that tree is planted. I believe that your thoughts are the same thing as a root of a tree. What's planted is not the tree, but its roots. The roots are in the ground getting nourishment, and the roots are what produce the fruits. And so if your thinking is wrong, if your thinking is incorrect, your thinking is evil, your thinking is bad, your thinking is I'm a loser, your thinking is I'll never get there, then whatever you're thinking at, whatever roots you're putting down is creating the fruits in your life. If you want to change the fruits of your life, you got to change your roots of your life, and the roots of your life are what you think about. So you got to change your thinking. Well, how do I change my thinking? You got to set a new target. You got to set a new set of goals, a new set of dreams that you put in front of you. Because why? Proverbs 23:7 makes it very clear. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Let's talk about how to break that down then into a pattern. How do we change the way we think? We have to change it with a dream. Habakkuk 2 and verse 1 says this. Habakkuk says, I will stand my watch. In other words, I will be aware that when I live my life, I'm aware that God is leading and guiding and directing my steps. He also is the one who gives us the desires of our hearts. He's the one who moves us and shapes us and molds us and puts dreams inside of us to fulfill. See, a lot of people are just waiting for God to do something big in their lives without putting an effort toward it, actually taking the design of the body and the mind and our will and our emotions and creating, be able to create and vision our lives. We just expect God to do stuff. And God says, listen, I want you to be on the watch, but I'm going to put something in you. When I do, I want you to write it down. Now, watch this. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart, or that's on the ledge. I'm going to be watching. I'll be looking and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I'm corrected. Now, what he's saying is I'm waiting for God to give me direction. Well, we have direction. We have his word. What does his word say? Beloved, I pray above all things that you would prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. You want a vision for life? Oh, that's one right there. I don't know about you, but if we just grabbed onto 3 John 2 and said, you know what, I'm going to live as if that is true in every area of my life, spirit, soul, and body, I'm having a successful journey through life. From this point forward until the day I take my last breath, that's the framework of my life. I'm planting my roots in the ground. That's how I'm going to live my life. I don't care what anybody else says. That's what I'm going to do. Now, is it possible? The answer is absolutely. It's possible if we'll believe it, if we'll set ourselves up for that. I'm going to tell you how to do that in a very practical way. Look at this next verse. Then the Lord answered me and said, you ready for this? Write the vision. Make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. Now, something pretty miraculous happens when we take our dreams and we put it on paper. We take our dreams and we create a dream board, whether it's pictures or writings or drawings or whatever you do. In other words, don't just think it, ink it. Don't just think it, ink it. He goes on to say, verse 3, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak. It will not lie, though it tarries, wait for it, because the vision, will surely come. It will not tarry. It's not going to hold off. It's going to come. Now, I say that to say, listen, about, 20 years ago, roughly, I wrote down 8 life mandates that I would live my life by. Those 8 mandates I carry with me every day. They're in a little portfolio I keep with me. I have them in front of me. I can tell you as I look back at those 8 things have transpired in my life. The other thing I did, in that same book I carry, I was looking through some old pages and I found a page that I'd kept in there back from 2002. I was looking at our family, looking at the church and kind of having a little dream time, and I began to just sketch out some years and how old I would be and Beth would be and our kids would be. And I noticed that as the kids were getting ready to get out of high school, this was, like I say, 2002, so that's 17 years ago. So our kids were in middle school at that time, and a few maybe were in high school. I realized that as the kids were getting ready to go into college, that there was going to be a season where we would have 12 years of kids in college, 10 years with two of them at the same time. How many know you better have a plan? Better break that down, because that's going to cost some money. About a Harley a year or so. But who's counting? So the vision. So my point is, I looked back at that thing. In fact, while we were away on our trip, I looked at it. And I showed it to Beth. It's remarkable. The things that I wrote down there 17 years ago, the where we are today is kind of what we mapped out. But why? Well, it wasn't just a dream. I inked it. Didn't just think it, I inked it. And here it is. It amazes me. So write the vision. It begins there. Now, why is that important? Well, Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Or one translation says they run amok. They run amok. In other words, they just go through life. Because here's the thing about life, you get old. And unless you have a plan, you just get old without a plan. You got to have a plan. How have you broken it down? What do you want it to look like? Now, I never thought about turning 60 when I was 20, because 60 was forever away, like a lifetime away. But in a blink, we're 60. She looks 40. I get that. But boom, we're there. So you gotta have a plan. Where there is no vision, people just run unrestrained, as one translation says, or they perish. In other words, what's your target? What do you want in life? Now, why is this important? Now, why is it important to write it down? Well, by simply writing down your dreams, your goals, your whatever you want to call them, the desires of your heart, by just writing them down, there's a significant increase in the ability to achieve them if you'll just write them down. And the reason why that, because it's how God wired us. I'm going to show you a picture here. Your brain, as you know, is broken into two hemispheres. There's the right hemisphere of your brain. It controls the left side of your body, and it's the creative side. And the left hemisphere of your brain controls the right side of your body, and that's where the analytical and logical thinking happen. In this picture, you see it. So the right brain functions are the creativity, the imagination, intuition, insight, and then there's the left brain hemisphere. That's the analytical thought, the logic, reasoning, all that stuff. Now, given those two, if you had just as an example here of Beth and myself, which one do you think Beth is? Well, she's the creative imagination and intuitive side. So when she comes with one of her harebrained ideas, I think, how are we going to pay for it? How are we going to do it logistically? In other words, we had to learn that we look at the same thing, but we look at it differently. Why is that? Because most of us function predominantly on one hemisphere or the other. We have to really function on both, right? Y'all get that? You got to have both in operation. Otherwise, you're just half-brained. Right? It's kind of a joke, but so here's where this is so important. So the right side of your brain is designed to do the dreaming. The left side of your brain is designed to carry it out. So you're tracking so far? So it's important to have both sides of the brain working on what you're dreaming so that you can accomplish it. So those two sides of your brain are connected by this group of neural fibers. It's called, there it is, the corpus callosum. I love that. The corpus callosum. It's the pathway or the conduit between the right side and the left side. So if the right side of the brain is dreaming this stuff, and somehow I got to get the dream more into reality, by simply writing it down, it opens up that pathway, and what's going on the right side shoots over on the left side, and both sides of your brain capture the vision, capture the dream, and send a signal to your body that says, we want this. We want, you're telling me all I got to do is to write it down, and it'll activate my brain into thinking 24/7 while I'm awake and while I'm sleeping. It'll find a way to achieve the goals that I've set for myself. Yes. Isn't that cool? So what have you written down? Here's the thing. Very few adults ever write down their dreams. But let's be different. Let's be different. Let's not be like everybody else. Let's begin to think what's possible with all of this. So again, I want you to just share with you this. How do I break away? Well, Ephesians 4 and verse 21. Since you've heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Verse 23. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. How? Well, by focusing my thoughts, by focusing our thoughts. So what do we do? First of all, take inventory. Ask yourself, what would you like your life to look like? Do you have a vision? If you don't, get with God and get one. What would you like your life to look like? A lot of people just think they're they don't have any control over that. But we do. It's how God wired us. It's how he created us. You are a creative being. I hear people say sometimes, well, you know, I've heard people say this. I don't have a creative bone in my body. Well, that's not, your creativity is not found in your bones. If what you're saying is, I don't have half a brain, then you're wrong, right? You have it, you just need to tap into it more. So lean into that side of yourself and just get with God and begin to dream. Begin to dream about some things. You say, well, yeah, but what if my dreams aren't like somebody else's? Who cares? They're your dreams. They don't have the power to see your dreams come true. You have the power. You and God. With God, all things are possible. With God, beloved, I pray above all things that you'd prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. That's the vision God has for you. I know the thoughts I think of you, Jeremiah 29, thoughts of good and not of evil, to bring you a future and a hope. It's his will, it's his desire for you to see your dreams fulfilled. But you got to write them down. So here's the assignment. This is it. There's no secrets to this. This is all right here. This is what your assignment is. The conclusion of this series, a whole month of talking about breakout. Because what we don't want to do is talk about breakout and not see breakout. We want to see it happen in your life. Your breakout might be different than the person sitting next to you. Their breakout might be different. But whatever it is for you, begin to put pen to paper. And begin to allow your whole being to holistically connect with seeing those things come about in your life. So write them down. I would encourage you. In fact, we're going to do this. We're going to get some poster board and just put pictures up of things that we'd like to see and accomplish, just so that our brains are activated by not only words that we write, but the pictures that we see. And we're going to put stuff on our mirrors at home, in the bathroom, and in the office, and in the car, and begin to just sort of frame our world, not with our circumstances, but with our dreams. What if we spent a whole year to do that? What if we spent the rest of our lives living off our dreams? Would that be a nice way to live? I think it'd be awesome. I think it'd be fun. I think it would be really, really exciting for all of us if we were able to do that. And what stops us? Simply not writing it down. That's why when Beth mentioned about a paper Bible, we really, really want to encourage you. It's not just because we're old school, but we are old. But you know, when we first started reading the Bible, the internet wasn't created, okay? There was nothing called Netflix. Google, I didn't even think it was a word when we were kids. But here's the thing. There's something about seeing the written word, reading it with your eyes, highlighting it, underlining it, putting words or things on the side, putting notes in your own Bible. I'm telling you, there's something will engage yourself spiritually and mentally and holistically as you do that for your life. Man, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it, and give God the glory for what happens in your life. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for encouraging us, for helping us to have a fresh vision for life. Most of all, Father, I ask you, if there's a single person here that doesn't know your son Jesus, that today is their day of salvation. Amen.